Good afternoon, everybody. Is it not? Okay. Well, I know at the feasts I've been to in the past, there's almost pretty much every year there's been a theme. Is there one for up where a lot of you are going this year? Is there a theme? Nothing that's been spoken so far. You'll probably find out through the feast that there is a theme, that a lot of the messages carry a theme and kind of tie together. Where we're heading in Texas, the theme was put out last year, right at the tail end of the feast. One of the gentlemen that attended suggested this one, magnifying God and multiplying talents. So we've asked the speakers to kind of consider that when they're putting together messages there in Texas. But that theme implies a broadening transformation, something of growth. It's certainly not something that's stagnant, is it? Something has to evolve here. A transformation that focuses on output rather than input. That we should return from the feast with a recognition of ability and motivation to utilize that ability. God blesses us with these annual feasts that we get a glimpse of the eternal life that he has offered to all, a glimpse of the restoration of all things back to its original intention that was given in the garden prior to the fall. What we see today is not what he intended. There's virtually nothing out there that he intended. Everything has been affected by the sin that was committed in the garden. And he's going to restore that with his son's return. You and I were created with a purpose, and over the last couple of months, we've talked about this a little bit. The purpose of perpetuating his will and his plan. And with that, we receive eternal life. I hope we don't just go to the feast simply of coming back with a warm, fuzzy feeling, that we get to spend time with some friends, that we got to eat some nice meals, that maybe we went to a vacation spot and got to see some scenery or do some things that we normally don't get to. All that's fine, and we'll probably all get to experience that one way or another, but I hope our intention is much greater than that, that we're sharing, spending the feast with God. That we're being reminded of the importance of sharing the opportunity God has set, planned for us with all others. If we look back a year ago, when we come back from the feast, did you come back renewed? Did you come back with a new sense of energy, a brighter spirit? And then the question is, if you did, what did you do with that? Did you put it to good works? What did you bring back last year that you shared with others throughout the year to magnify God in his plan? Over the course of the year, did you realize new opportunities, or even ask God for new opportunities to share this plan with them? Over this past year, did we produce fruit? If we did, was it the same fruit over the last 10 years? Or was there more? When we come back from this upcoming feast, will we come back ready to produce greater and better fruit? Let's go to John 15. John 15 and verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So he stresses here that we have to have a relationship with him, Christ. Because if we don't, we're no longer a part of the vine, which means we're not going to produce any fruit. And the passage finishes up with defining a portion of what that fruit is. That we receive the nutrients needed and allow the transformation from the branch into fruit. A fruit that is to be shared and supplied to others. How many conversations did you enter into this year where you were able to encourage them to start or remain in a walk with God? And I know many of you here do just this. But did we do it as often as we could have? Did we ask God for those opportunities? And then as the opportunities come, do we stop in the moment and ask God for the right words? My friend Tom is here today, and this isn't about me. This is more about him. And I told him I was going to share a little bit. So here, probably a little over a year ago, I have a morning spot that I frequent, you know, quite a bit. I need a cup of coffee, and since it got out of the bag, a donut or two on a regular basis. And I stop in to the same spot, you know, quite often throughout the week. And a handful of times I saw this gentleman sitting at a counter with a laptop out, and he's reading. And the first few times I didn't pay any attention to it. You know, I don't know what he's doing. Not my business, right? But after seeing him a handful of times, it was intriguing to me that he's there on a regular basis at his laptop. And one morning, I happened to go by fairly close to him. I walked in an entrance where I had to walk right behind him, and I looked over, and I realized he's reading God's Word, sitting at that counter all by himself. And I bet he's been doing that every time I've seen him. And just caught me right off guard. It's like, huh, I got to go up and say something to him. So I went up, introduced myself, and just said, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to be nosy, but I happen to see that you're reading God's Word. And the conversation began. We got to share now probably a handful of hours just talking about not simply life, but about God's life. And the other day, I bumped into Tom again for the first time since February or March. You know, I didn't know really how to get a hold of him. You know, we saw each other at Speedway. You know, never got any contact information per se. Saw him the other day, and we kind of filled in each other what was going on over the last few months. And I invited him here, but that was just part of just saying, you know, just letting him know what's been going on, you know, in my spiritual walk. for Tom, I know enough about him that over the last couple of years, he's wrote 2 books? You've wrote 2 books? Okay, he completed a book, got it published. Now he's working on the second one. So I know he puts effort into his spiritual walk. But it's just, do we take those opportunities that Tom and I had on a regular basis as often as we can? Do we make room for them, or do we allow other things to become more important? Because I think a lot of times what we do is, I could have easily saw Tom reading the Bible in Speedway and just thought, it's none of my business. But I could have, on a regular basis, no, I need to be over here. And so I just got to get going. I don't have time to stop and chat. When in reality, you know, a lot of you know my schedule. I do have the ability to stop and chat most of the time. But do you? Do you leave wiggle room in your schedule that you can say, okay, Father, this wasn't on my radar today, but I'm glad to stop and have a conversation if that's what you would have? We need to be doing this much more often, because with the way things are going right now today in this world, we see it very clearly. Things are going to get rough fast, and a lot of people are going to be woken up very quickly. And God's going to give us the ability to have a conversation with some of them. But are we going to be too busy? Cindy, you got a comment you want to throw in there?
You're going to get it anyhow.
Well, just like what you're saying, things just pop up. I can't tell you, I don't even remember the number of times I've talked to people checking me out in a store and just how things were and how we need God, things like that, and connecting with people, you know, just short sentences. But I mean, people are open to that, because, and we're going to need that more than ever. And it's just wonderful to just pass that on, that we have that hope, just that little one sentence, and because they need that. They're sitting there all day having to wear a mask, and yeah, you know, so just small things like that.
I'm like her. Pardon me. I do the same thing. If I have an opportunity, I get it out there. And I even have some that are godly, and they'll have their say or two. Uh-huh.
And it's not just simply having a conversation. It's, what do we look like to others? You know, I didn't know anything about Tom. His clothing really didn't tell me anything about him. You know, the time of day that he was at Speedway didn't tell me anything about him. You know, his manners or his mannerisms or you know, him sitting at a laptop reading something didn't say anything to me. But the moment I realized he was reading Scripture, said volumes to me. Here's a man that has some character. Here's a man that wants to better his life. Here's a man that cares about others, because if he didn't care about others, he wouldn't be reading that word. So do we openly wear our belief system on our shoulders, that people just realize there's something different here, and I'd like to know a little bit about it, so that they're comfortable in coming and asking? Are we a living sacrifice, just as Christ was for us? One who will do anything to glorify Father and save others. Let's go to Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. These feast days are a tremendous opportunity for us to have that renewing. That transformation. That ability to tighten up our relationship with God and with our Messiah. To strengthen our communication in ways that we can know and hear what is their will and how are we to go about it. So when we get that little tap on the shoulder, we don't have to wonder, what was that? Is something going on? No, we realize, I think God's tapping me on the shoulder. I think he wants me to do something. What is it, Father? If we keep going in Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you thought ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. I was joking with the guys shortly after some of them got here this morning. One of them made the comment, oh, Bill's here, the cool guy's here. And then Bill said, no, I'm not the cool guy, you're the cool guy. They were all esteeming each other. Do we do that with everybody, or is there some that we kind of look down on? We all have different gifts and talents and abilities. And in one area of my life, I might have the edge on you. But I know for certain that all of you have an edge on me in many different areas. We're not better than anybody else, and we're all needed. Because God never said, Aaron, you're all that I ever needed. Not going to happen. Sure.
Where I live, I have a lady that's godly, okay? And I was getting all dressed up on a Sabbath, and she says, are you going to a wedding? And I said, no. It's a Sabbath. I'm going to the original.
Yep, we all get those opportunities when we can share a little bit, right? Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Every single one of us has already been given some of the abilities or gifts that were just mentioned. It's time we put them to use for God's glory. Verse 9, he now goes into a series of things that marks a true Christian. Verse 9, he says, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Do we put on fake love at times? Just for the sake of getting through the moment? But more importantly, do we flee from evil? Every time we realize it's right here. Every time. Not sometimes. And it's all around us. And I agree, it is hard to stay away from evil. Verse 10. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Like the guys did here a little while ago. We show and give pride in others, not ourselves, because we need them. Verse 11, do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. How often do we allow ourselves to be lazy? Lazy in serving God. Again, we make up an excuse. Oh, I can put that off. I don't have to do it right now. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do it next week. And then some time goes by and we go, oh, crud, I never got around to that. I should have made that phone call. Should have wrote that letter. Sent that card. Stopped and seen how they were doing. Are we constantly being disciples? Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. Others should not be seeing worry or fear on our face, but faith that God will see us through. The pain and suffering in this physical life is temporary. We should know that by now. We've had enough of his blessings, and we've read enough of his word that we don't have to really worry about tomorrow. We know he's going to take care of us one way or another. And that should be the countenance on our face at all times. And throughout it all, our communication with God is not to be diminished in any way, but increased. We're to pray without ceasing. And there's a lot to pray about right now. And the more often we pray, the more we get to know him, because he responds to every single prayer. He answers every single prayer. Just keep in mind that we'll get the response maybe before we get the answer. But more importantly, he gets to know us. And we shouldn't have fear that one day he'll say, I never knew you. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Isn't that simply a case where we look around and see who needs something or what they need? It's a case where we get up and we go do it. We make times in our schedule. We allow God to bless our finances, even if we drain them flat dry to help somebody. We take care of each other. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. We're to remain kind at all times, showing love and being soft-spoken. Vengeance is never ours. And I admit there's times when my dander gets worked up and I express it. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We're constantly looking around, seeing what others are going through, how it might affect them, and especially how it might affect their spiritual life. You know, with Tom and Barb right now, they went through, you know, the flood situation. They've been out of their house since May. That takes a toll on you. It can take a toll on your spiritual life. God, what are you doing to me? And then here more recently to find out that there's this lump that has to be dealt with. It's not supposed to be there. Why is it there? What's it going to do to him? It can take a toll on them. So we wrap our arms around Tom and Barb and all the others that are going through things right now. And each of us have different gifts to give that we can wrap our arms around with. It's not always just a hug. You know, sometimes we can do things. Sometimes we're able to say something. Sometimes we're able to just send a little card or something like that. Again, God's given each one of us abilities to fulfill this in one way or another. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, and do not claim to be wiser than you are. It's another huge warning of pride. We're not better than somebody else. We may have some different gifts and abilities, but we're not better. God wants them saved just as much as he wants you saved. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Again, tells us, let God be the avenger. Don't drop to anyone's evil. And this is probably a big one that I struggle with. Because again, if I get irritated, I can quickly drop lower than the person that's aggravating me. Verse 18, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So here, he actually gives a way out. At times, there should be some people that we shouldn't spend any more time around. They are no good for us, and we are no good for them. That doesn't mean we didn't try. We try fixing this situation, making the situation better when we can, how we can. But at some point, if they insist in fleeing God, walking away from God, turning truly to evil, we don't start following them. We stay on the same path towards God. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, you feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on your heads. We're not to burn bridges. I think I told you the story that here a couple of years ago, Lori and I were praying, and we asked, you know, the church to pray with us that the house beside us, right next door, was becoming empty, and we'd had some really good neighbors over the years in that place, and we wanted to make sure that the next set of neighbors were going to be good also. So we prayed about it, and a young family moves in, and in very short order, I meet the husband, the dad, nice guy, get along with him. We actually, you know, we enjoy talking. And in very short order, his wife is not happy with us. We have a dog, and she thinks our dog is over in her yard all the time, leaving something behind and or tearing into their garbage. And it was like, I don't think that's our dog, because he kind of stays in our neighborhood, and we do have some raccoons that are around here. And Lori and I just did everything we could to try making it better. And it took about 2 years. And almost overnight, and again because of some things that we did and said, she realized, this is not my enemy. These are actually friends. And now every day she waves at us if she sees us out in the yard. She's friendly to us. She wants to communicate back and forth from time to time. So we're not to burn bridges. As disciples, we want to turn all towards God. Keep giving them a reason to consider that option. If we start stooping to their level or hitting them with anger all the time, chastising them all the time, we're burning a bridge. They have no reason to start looking to us for help in the future. In verse 21, do not overcome evil, or do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The moment we allow Satan in is the moment we're on the wrong side. Period. There is no hope for us. So again, at every opportunity, we have to shun evil, temptation, pride, anger, the wrong kind of anger anyways, and keep turning to God in what He's promised us. Last Sabbath on Trumpets, we looked forward to Christ's return and the opportunity that He's promised us for eternal life. Tomorrow at sundown, we start a 24-hour fast to humbly acknowledge the redemption of our sins through Christ's blood and our own propensity for sin, that it still exists. Next Friday at sundown, we get to start 8 days and experience a glimpse into the establishment of Christ's kingdom on this earth, what it's going to look like. Between now and then, it's a time of restoration. Are we going to put sin over our lives? Do we accept that redeeming blood? Do we want that restoration to take place? Are we a critical part of the restoration? Is God able to use us in His restoration plan? Or are we about to be pruned from the vine? So here over the next couple of weeks, soak in as much as you can. Purge out whatever needs to be purged, and come back with a renewal that you are disciples and you want to do it at every single opportunity affords us.